Standby. We are trying to call back for a description.
Check it off on me.
4, 3, 2, 1.
Copy. Woke up quick at about noon.
Welcome. This is the Lowdown.
You ready for the Lowdown?
Hey. It must be 12 o'clock. My station's on lock. Take your positions. Time for D-Lo. J-Ross and I, and we'll play your favorite.
The Lowdown. Damian Barling and Jason Ross.
Noon to 3 o'clock. You know they hot just from the intro. This the Lowdown.
The Lowdown. Lowdown.
Hey, this is the Lowdown. That's who we are. Jason Ross here today in, well, I'm not in for Damian. I'm in for me. Does that make sense? No, it doesn't. Charles T. Hamilton is in, though. Let's hear the bark again. He's ready. It is opening day of the NBA, for the Kings at least.
Yes.
Started for several others last night, but we have the home and season opener tonight coming up here on Sports 1140 KHC. Last night, Charles was the JV. Tonight,
yep.
Varsity.
Varsity main event tonight.
Kings Jazz doesn't get any better than that. Bigger or better.
Does not.
Yeah. I know the Warriors may have got a ring.
I mean, Rudy Gobert is what, 7'2"? Doesn't get much bigger.
He's growing. See what you're doing.
Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah, he'll be here all day.
On
he will.
It.
Literally,
on
he
yep.
will be here all day.
Yes.
I can vouch for
excited.
That. Yes. But yeah, we've got a lot to get to today, and we are so glad you are with us here on the Lowdown. We take you till 3, then Grant and Doug from the arena, and then again, Kings basketball tonight. And of the things we are going to be talking about, obviously, is the opening of the NBA last night. We've got the Kings preview tonight to help us with that. The G-Man, the voice of the Kings, will join us in about 30 minutes. Also, the voice of the Utah Jazz, David Locke, to talk about a team that I think has legitimate expectations.
Oh,
I mean, everybody's chasing the Warriors. They may not be in that class, but I don't think they're far behind.
No, here's the thing. Everyone puts the Warriors at the top, and with the changes the Rockets made this offseason, people feel that second spot is wide open.
Yeah.
And people are putting the Utah Jazz in there, and I can't argue it. I mean, we'll see. It's been 1 year of good basketball for them. Can they continue that? I'm expecting them to, but it's a question that I'm interested to have answered, Jason.
Yeah, and so David Locke will help us with that 1 hour from now. And then Sammy's back. Sam Amick will join us each and every week. Usually it's Wednesdays. Today is Wednesday. He's in from The Athletic. He will join us at 2:05 to go all things NBA. So we got an NBA-heavy show today, but we will get some football in and certainly some baseball as well. We've got Kings questions and NBA questions all throughout the day that will pepper through the show. So that's all coming up today, and you can reach us at 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140, or the text line at 44-1140. Again, Jason Ross, Charles T. Hamilton. Damian is off today. He'll be back with us tomorrow. But we do want to tell you it is 12:03, time to visit MadeAChevy.com and see who's made a great deal at Meta. So let's start first, because I know we're going to get into a lot of NBA, Charles, with baseball yesterday, and I'm really a fan of this. I wanted the Yankees in there, and I think the A's would have been fun, but I think we've got pretty good high-level baseball with the Red Sox and the Astros, and that game 4 is coming up later today, but Boston took a 2-1 series lead. Good regroup from them after losing game 1 to take the next 2, and I wouldn't say they've got control of the series, but that was really important for them to kind of get back in front and lead in the series, at least.
No question. I think coming in, I think most people would have picked Boston.
Mm-hmm.
Houston's pretty great, too. I mean, well, controversy now on the Houston side, which is pretty interesting.
Yeah.
You know,
getting some hints, getting some help.
Some dirty baseball tricks and secrets, which I'm sure we will all blow out of proportion, which I'm all here for. Let's do that.
That's what we do.
But yeah, Boston, I mean, the funny part with the playoffs is you live game to game.
Mm-hmm.
So game 1, it's like, I don't think Boston's going to win a single game.
Yeah.
Game 2, they might
win 4
in a row. Yeah, they're back. They're back.
Yeah.
Exactly. So you're just hanging on almost every pitch, every game. And it's, I think we do have a series here. And it's been fun. But I just, it's so hard to tell because game to game, your opinions change each game.
Well, and you're so right if we flipped it to the National League too, because 2-1 Brewers, they're feeling good, and they still should, but that's a swing game yesterday. They win that game yesterday to go 3-1. It's not over, but you're feeling really good. Now, all of a sudden, it's 2-2, and now if I argue for the Dodgers, well, they got Kershaw today.
Yep.
So, it's probably 3-2 going back to Milwaukee.
And another game, another series with a little controversy. Manny Machado doing
what do you think of that?
I thought it was dirty. And I think the history of his antics also, it's not a one-time thing.
Right.
So dirty, unnecessary, however you want to put it. It just wasn't don't know.
Was Donaldson a member of the A's? When him? Okay, I couldn't remember if he was an A or
it was him. And, yeah, it was Donaldson, third baseman.
Yeah.
Machado was the other young, you know, good third baseman. And what happened, I forget what led up to it, but he threw his bat at Josh Donaldson and then came up with some BS excuse that his hands were wet or something like that, or he just let go of the bat. That's the thing. He does things that are dirty, but borderline enough that he tries to explain them as, oh, I'm just playing baseball, which is BS. He's a dirty guy, and like the fact that he tried to take out the first baseman's ankle is terrible.
Yeah.
And I hope the MLB does something about it. I know it's tough to make a decision like this to, you know, suspend someone during a playoff series or anything like that. I doubt they will. Maybe he'll get something to start the year next year, but he needs to be reprimanded.
Yeah.
Because this stuff can't fly.
I would say, I mean, all of the blame goes to Machado, but what's Aguilar doing? He was on the base for a long time. It's not his fault. Yeah. Because Machado chose, I mean, there was still a lane. He could have hit the bag. He clipped his leg. He purposely did that. But most first basemen get out of there. I just, again, not Aguilar's fault. I just wondered why he was waiting that long on the bag.
And maybe it's something that he does consistently, and then that was Machado's response to it. But either way, his response was wrong.
Yeah.
It's incorrect to try and take out a guy's ankle like that. I didn't like it. But again, to the series, yeah, you nailed it. Milwaukee wins it. They're in the driver's seat. We think they're going to, you know, pull this thing out and be, you know, whatever, the great story of the MLB season. But yeah, it looks like Dodgers could get him with Kershaw up now. And then the most interesting part, and looking down the line, and who knows what actually happens, Kershaw gets him today. Does he start on 3 days rest?
Right. Would they do that? Because he lost game one, right? Mm-hmm. The Brewers did beat him in game one. But the Dodgers, I would say, saved their season. This is how it ended last night, late last night in Los Angeles.
Guerra on 3-2 to Bellinger. Here's the pitch. Ground ball, base hit into right field. Machado's on his way home. Throw to the plate, and the Dodgers will win it. They win it 2-1. And the series is all even at two games apiece. Bellinger with the walk-off smash to right. Machado scores. Head first slide. The Dodgers win in 13. And now the NLCS is the best 2 out of 3.
Yeah, it's been fun. It's a good series. Dodger fans were ripped for kind of being non-existent in game three. They brought the energy yesterday. Good game all the way into extras there. And that's when their bullpens were exhausted.
Yeah.
The bench was emptied pretty much. But Dodgers get the win. That was Charlie Steiner there from the Dodgers radio network. But is Machado one of those guys, Charles, that you like him if he's on your team?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I'm not knocking how good of a baseball player he is because he's great. But some of the antics are...
Yeah.
Tired. I could do without him.
Yeah.
Or... Everyone should do them. It's a weird mix of, you know, the baseball rules and the baseball proper etiquette and stuff like that, but which I usually disagree with. But there are certain things like physically going after someone's ankle or throwing a bat at someone, or he's had a history of almost backing up in the batter's box and having like a long follow through and hits catchers in the head. Like stuff like that is a little too far for me, at least. But I'm against all the other, you know, unwritten rules, but like physically going after people, I don't think is really that great.
One, I don't think now is the time if you're Milwaukee for any kind of retribution.
No, you can't.
You got a series to worry about.
I
mean, as you say, every pitch, every inning, you put him on as, oh, let's plunk him. Well, that's equivalent to a walk.
Nothing, yeah,
that's
like,
different.
You know, but at the same time, that's another thing that I don't like about it is the retaliation of throwing a
pick and choose.
Yeah, a 99 mile an hour, you know.
Crazy.
Damn near cement ball at someone, but you know that's just how it is.
Yeah. So we will get into baseball. Obviously, the games also start during the show at the 2 o'clock hour. So when the Dodgers start, so we'll keep you up to date on that game 5. At Red Sox and Astros play a little bit later. We will have Kings questions throughout the show as well that will be kind of thrown out there. Charles and I will discuss. And the NBA did start officially last night, and it started like this in Boston.
1 year ago, a season began with so much promise, and 5 minutes into it, everything changed. Tonight, Gordon Hayward puts on the white home Celtics uniform for the first time, hits the three that decides it, and the Boston Celtics show the world why they are the favorites in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, Sean Grandy there from the Celtics Radio Network. A lot of people like Boston. I like Boston, Charles. They look good. It's game one. Can't overanalyze anything in one game, but I think their strength is kind of what I think the Warriors used to say, strength in numbers. Boston is as deep a team as we've seen. Maybe not the highest level talent, but really good talent all the way through. And I think last night was a good example. I mean, okay, you're thinking Kyrie Irving, maybe Gordon Hayward, Al Horford, anybody, but it was Tatum that was their leading scorer, and I think they can have a lot of different guys beat you.
Definitely, and something we've talked about before with Boston is that depth is great. How are they going to figure out how to play them all? And if players are fine to kind of, on a game-to-game basis, like, look, Tatum's going, Hayward, you're kind of going to be minimalized today. And if he's fine with that, that's great, and it'll work out great. Something I'm interested in watching throughout the rest of the season is that. Also, another thing that jumped out last night is how underappreciated and how dominant Al Horford is.
Still.
Defensively, he doesn't get the credit defensively. I think 5 blocks last night. He's just, maybe it's because he's quiet or whatever, doesn't send funny tweets like Joel Embiid or something like that. But he was a beast last night, and he is consistently. And he's such a huge part of this team. Like, when Aaron Baines was in, I don't know why they really like forcing it to Aaron Baines.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if they think it's funny or what, or they really love him.
Hey, watch this.
Yeah. Like,
this is funny.
Trying to throw alley-oops to Aaron Baines. I'm like, come on, guys. He can't get up and get those. He's a solid player as well. But, like, when he was in, I was kind of just like, whoa.
Yeah.
Can we get Drop Al off. Back in there or what?
Yeah, and I think you're right. I think that's the key is, and this was maybe a topic of discussion early on when the Warriors were constructed as their group and then added Durant. Oh, who's going to get the ball at the end of the game? Well, the Warriors weren't in a lot of close games, and I kind of wonder, that's something I wondered last night, last possession type game. They got lots of choices, but that's also where ego comes in. It's like, wait a minute, I'm making this amount of money, or I was the man on this team, or you know, Terry Rozier's hit big shots, but he's a bench guy. Yeah. Marcus Smart, all of them can do it. Horford, and then it's Kyrie. It just, that's a good problem to have, but I don't know if that's a little wrinkle that could affect some locker room
exactly.
stuff.
Exactly. Kyrie and Hayward, the thing is, they had bad games last night, so I'm sure they don't mind Terry Rozier icing the game. And he played great.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe he found something in the playoffs last year to where he's been able to carry it over to this season and play well this season and, you know, hit another level as a player, a little more efficient.
Right.
But I'm with you. We'll see how it works out later in the year when maybe Kyrie's getting minutes over Terry and Terry isn't too happy about it or Marcus Smart or whoever. The depth is great. I'm with you. I mean, that's the kind of depth you want, but there's also personalities that go along with it. And we'll maybe it works out fine. I trust Brad Stevens. I think he's one of the best coaches in the NBA, if not the best. But he has some personalities he's going to have to deal with eventually. But as far as on the court, they were dominant. They were great. And Tatum looks for real.
Man, he is nice. I was kind of in the camp before long. When people were talking about Tatum or Brown, I'm like, ooh, I would never get rid of Jaylen Brown. I might have to revisit that one.
Yeah.
Tatum's really good. They're both good, but Tatum, it looks like he could be something spectacular.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't agree that I never questioned it.
Yeah.
But Tatum absolutely is the guy above Brown. Brown is nice.
Yeah.
He's a nice glue guy, I guess you could say.
Yeah, he's probably more that.
Almost top level 3-and-D wing in his third year, which is great.
And there might be more growth.
Exactly. But Tatum, to me, has superstar potential where Brown, look, I'd want to keep him, obviously, if I could. But Brown, to me, his top level is, say, Andre Iguodala type, which is great. Awesome to have. But if you have to weigh one against the other, I'm taking.
Yeah. And I think present day NBA, as great as the Warriors are, as they are the favorite, they should be the favorite. I think Boston's as well suited for years here. Because of their depth, because of their age, because of what they have, likely a high pick from the Kings. They could flip some of these guys into becoming even a more star-laden team. So I think they're really, really set. And a team that wants to compete with them that didn't really last night, and I'm not writing Philly off by any means, but I thought it was interesting afterwards that Joel Embiid said, no, this isn't a rivalry. We don't beat them. And I get that theory, yes, in definition of it's got to go both ways. But to me, it's a rivalry. Like those two teams, I think, don't like each other, and I think it's good for the East to have that.
For sure, and I appreciate him being real for a guy who, you know, can talk as much as he does.
Yes.
He didn't come out and try and, you know, pull a Washington Wizards where after they get beat, talk about they were the better team.
Stop it. Yeah.
So I do appreciate that, but that's the other thing. When you talk as much as he does, you're going to have people, you're going to have Jaylen Brown going for a dunk and then stare you down, or Tatum cross you over and hit a little jumper and, you know, give you a wink and a look.
It's on.
Exactly. So I agree with the sentiment that he said that it's not a rivalry, but I also agree with you, like, it is a rivalry.
Yeah, well, I want it to be.
Yeah, for sure.
Especially for these two of the better teams there.
As far as the Sixers go, I'm with you. I'm not writing them off, but they're kind of in the same place as the Jazz for me, I trust the Jazz more, but look, those are two teams that got really hot in the second half of last year. How real is that?
Mm.
Is that something we can count on? Now, I do expect them both to be good, but what, they both ended like 26-6 or 30-7, something like that. That's probably not who they are. They're both probably playoff teams, but that's probably not who they are. And then as far as the Sixers are concerned, they lose Ilyasova, they lose Bellinelli, and I know they're trying to work out how they can replace him. I like how they made an effort to get Mike Muscala, who I like, regardless of what his dad tweets.
Yeah.
I like the move. Well, I understand the move for Markelle Fultz starting and taking Redick off the bench, but you notice they started the second half with Redick starting and Markelle Fultz on the bench.
Yeah.
So they're trying to figure out how to replace some of that three-point shooting they had last year. Landry Shamet, their first-round pick, a guy who I trust, and I think his shot will come.
They played him a lot.
He was 0-for-3 last night, so I like the effort, the idea of how they're going to place these guys, but they haven't done it yet, and you could see last night that it hurt them.
Early text here. This one's painful. It was fun watching the two teams in the East that will have our extremely high lottery pick this year. Awesome.
Yeah. Look, I was going to make an extreme effort to not bring that up today, but since someone else did,
go for
that
it.
Hurts.
Yeah.
That hurts a lot.
Another one's asking, hey, guys, which is harder to find, the star or the guy that is glue like Iguodala? Who are the glue guys in the league? I mean,
the star is harder to find, but the glue guy is very important. I mean, Jay Crowder, to me, is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Draymond is an elite glue guy, I think. He might even be above that. Iguodala is that in his later years.
But a glue guy needs to be on a good team.
Yeah.
Right? So, I mean, a glue guy right now, a glue guy on the Kings, they may have their version of it, but what's that helping you?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they still have their value, but
Garrett Temple.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I think Garrett Temple, we'll see how Memphis is, but I thought he would have been a great fit on Houston, on Golden State, on Philly, on, you know, whatever good team is out there. But that's a good point. Yeah, a glue guy on a bad team is kind of
just a guy.
Solid player, but
that each team likes. But so that was the East. Then out West, the Warriors got their rings and ended it in style.
6.8 to go. Curry trapped, and we'll run it out in the corner, and they'll let him run it out, and the ball game is over. So on a night where the Golden State Warriors unveil their third banner in the last 4 years, the Warriors have to grind out a win against a very determined and gritty Oklahoma City squad. Final score 108-100.
Yeah, so 82-0 is still possible.
Whew.
Warriors get the first one. It's actually something they hadn't done.
It's a lock.
The last 2 years when they got the rings. They lost the next game, right?
Yeah.
Opener. Oh, they didn't get the ring, though, 1 year. But they lost two in a row, right? Openers?
I thought they were 1-1 in the ring games.
Oh, okay. Well, because actually that's what it was. They were in the finals and didn't win that one the year before. But
yeah, it's nice. It's nice to get your rings and win.
Yeah.
But they did not look crisp or solid. Steve Kerr said after the game, we're not in shape and we're not ready. And, you know, maybe it's coach speak, but if you watch the game, they just seemed out of it kind of. But yeah, it was a battle. It was a close game, which I guess is better than a blowout.
Yeah, I wasn't sure what to expect from OKC without Westbrook, but they were game. They went for it. They were. I mean, that was a one possession game basically with about 3 minutes to go.
Very
Durant made
solid,
a few plays.
Yeah, very solid reminder of how good Paul George is. Also, he can be a little minimalized playing with Russell Westbrook. He's still good in his role there, but it was just a reminder that Paul George is an elite level talent.
Yeah. Adams was good. I thought Schroeder fit well, but I also you and I talked before the show. Schroeder on his own, I think, kind of filled the Westbrook role, not the same way, the stats a little bit, but how is that going to work when they're both there together? And I think if they're played separately, that's probably ideal.
Yeah, I think we agree that as long as they're not on the court together, he'll be solid.
Yeah.
But I don't know how it will work with both of them on the court.
Yeah.
Like, they may get in a fight at the at the top
fight
of
for the
key.
Ball.
Yeah, like, it could be ugly, but who knows? Maybe it works out perfectly, and they make beautiful music together. Or it's just two ball-dominant, undersized point guards.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, and the other part about the Warriors, obviously they get the win. They've got, we're talking about high-level talent, they've got four just amazing players. We're still not sure what DeMarcus will be when he's back, but obviously he's this amazingly gifted player.
Yeah.
But I think that was one thing I noticed last night. Again, one game, don't want to go too crazy on any kind of evaluation. But at times where I think there was a lineup, Charles, specifically that had Clay with four bench players and went, and Clay wasn't having a particularly hot shooting day. Mm-hmm. I went, oh, man, like, I can't believe I'm saying this, but who's going to score for the Warriors?
Yeah.
Which I don't know the last time I've said that. But then you go, all right, let's add one important piece to the depth chart, DeMarcus Cousins, whether he's the 20 and 10 guy or even just an incredibly skilled player, they're obviously going to be terrific. And I think that will help just because there's some young depth that I think will develop, but it's not all there yet.
No question. And they've kind of had this problem for a couple of years now, is a lack of second unit scoring. Mm-hmm. Like, it's usually been Clay, but the problem with Clay is he's not a – he doesn't really score on his own. He, you know, he comes off screens and stuff like that, where sometimes in the second unit you just need a guy who can ISO one-on-one and get you a bucket.
Right.
And I think that's going to be huge when DeMarcus Cousins does come back, is you can just put him in the post. Go get us some points, big guy.
Yeah.
But I'm with you. The bench did not look good. Clay did have a rough, really rough night.
He's better than that,
KD
obviously.
KD also had a rough night from three, at least. KD is funny slash incredible, where he can have a night where you're like, you know, he wasn't that great. And then you look at the stat sheet and he still had, you know, 26 and 9.
And maybe
like
the biggest, one of the biggest baskets late when he drove. That was a gnarly fall.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I'm glad it looked like everything was fine. Like, oh, he just fell on his shoulder and fell on top of that. Yeah.
He was shaking his hand out. Hopefully he's all right. I mean, apparently he is. But it was not the most crisp game from them.
Yeah.
I mean, I would say OKC outplayed them.
Yeah.
Honestly, and they, Warriors were able to rely on their talent, which I think we'll see a lot this year.
Yeah.
It's going to be a slog through 82 games for these guys because they're playing for the playoffs. They're playing for the ring.
That's their target. Yeah. And last year was a perfect example. They were the 2 seed. Everybody remember that? I mean, they still found their way through. Yeah. They didn't have home court in Game 7.
Yep.
It didn't matter.
Yeah.
In the Western Conference Finals. Wow, we're starting this early on the phone lines. We get to JR to open things up today. Hi, JR.
What's up, you cat pajama jammers?
What up, JR?
How are you, girls?
Great.
Fantastic.
Hey, real quick, Chris saw Star is Born, great movie. Do you know that Andrew Dice Clay plays the dad?
You're lying.
So awesome. Jason, I know you're a big Andrew Dice Clay fan.
Hey. JR is lying, right?
He kept it cool. Hey, real quick, do you think there's a controversy between Kerr and Cousins?
Charles, Kerr and Cousins controversy? Why do you say that?
Yeah, well, what's the basis?
He didn't play him, and he didn't give him a ring.
Good point.
I say we bring up and we start something and we put on the internet. The internet are pretty popular among the kids.
Yeah. I do like that. That's actually a good
it's
idea.
It's a huge feud we're hearing. All right. See you, Chair. That's all he had. He had to throw
that
some shade
good,
at the Warriors.
Yeah. I appreciate that.
He did
that
not
solid.
Get that ring.
No, he didn't get a ring. Yeah. Didn't play him. He was actually sitting at the end of the bench.
Didn't give him a uniform?
No. I don't know.
Is he making the team?
We're going to have to keep pulling on this thread here.
Yes. Investigate. Yeah. JR may be onto something.
Damian Jones did start over him.
Huh. So, thought they had 5 All-Stars.
Doesn't look like it.
Benching one.
Yeah, they got a bench All-Star. That's a good point.
Yeah. Thank you, JR. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. It is opening night for the Sacramento Kings, the home and season opener. It is about as difficult as it gets based on who they're playing because of the defense of the Utah Jazz. We're going to talk more about this game coming up with David Locke, the voice of the Jazz at 1, but next with the G-Man, the voice of the Kings. He joins Charles and I next here on Sports 1140 KHDK.
That she's back in the atmosphere with drops of Jupiter in her head.
So you know who Train is, right, Charles? Mm. I don't think you did when I was talking about him earlier.
Is this
But this is Train.
Tell me.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And I was so at all anyway, quick story on that yesterday.
Tell
it stemmed
me.
From we were talking
Tell
about
me.
How London
come on.
The Raiders failed in London. London games are always bad. And I think Damian brought up, you know, the Patriots ever played in London? I go, oh, I don't think so. I knew they played in Mexico City. Chris found a date. They played the Rams years ago. It was a blowout. And Chris also said, oh, and Train was the pregame. And Damian's like, Train? What's that? I go, oh, it's a group. You know Train. He's like, I don't know Train. I go, you do. You just And then there's that song.
Exactly.
I'm not saying you have to like them.
No,
I just say you'll
thing,
know the song.
Same thing with me. I didn't know who they were, but I hear the song.
Yeah.
I know. Come on. I know it.
It's in grocery stores all the time.
Yes. Yes.
In the dentist's office.
And romantic comedies.
Yeah. And commercials for, you know, do you want to retire with a bunch of money in your 401k?
Tell me.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's like There Goes My Hero.
Right.
It's in a bunch of like high school football movies and stuff. There goes my hero.
I've always wanted to write one of those.
Oh, for sure.
They've been done a million times, but just got to write one at some point.
You know who my hero is?
Who?
G-Man.
Everybody's hero is the G-Man. Let's bring him in right now. The voice of the Sacramento Kings, ready for another season. It starts tonight right here on KHDK and along the Kings Radio Network. That is the one, the only G-Man, Gary Gerald. Gary, how are you?
I'm good. I've got one thing for both you and Chuck.
Uh-oh.
You've got to set your hero standards higher.
Not at all, G-Man. Not at all. We're excited, and I know, you know, I got to ask you about this. You've done this so many years, and it's another season opener. Even with a season where a lot of people think there aren't high hopes, at least going into the year for the Kings, how excited are you, though, to start another journey where it's, you know, still the new building, still a new look team? Kind of what are your emotions like going into a season opener?
I'm always excited on opening night. You want to be excited every night, but opening nights are special. We all know that. There's a special buzz. There's a sense of anticipation. You know you're going to have a good, lively crowd. And it's something that we all look forward to. And, you know, it's been a long dry spell, a long time since we've had basketball. And, you know, the preseason is one thing. And I think this year, Jason, in the preseason, we were fortunate to have a couple of pretty unique experiences, because that back-to-back in L.A. with LeBron's debut as a Laker at Staples Center, followed the next night by the Warriors, the defending champions, up in Seattle, and the return of Kevin Durant. Those were things that you just don't ordinarily run across in the preseason. And so that you know, gave a little lift, I think, to the preseason, even though the Kings ended up, 2-4, and, you know, they got hurt big time by our friends from Utah a week ago, and that's who you got to face again tonight, and certainly hope for a little different result.
G-Man, on the court, obviously I think everyone's kind of, I wouldn't say worried, but Bogey's not going to be playing tonight, at least another week or so. Who do you think's going to benefit from the fact that he won't be out there getting minutes? Who do you think will be getting those minutes for him?
Well, I don't know who's going to get those minutes. You know, Coach Yeager keeps his rotations and his plans very close to the vest. He doesn't disclose about who he's going to put out there. He's made some decisions, sure, and we'll be surprised or not surprised when we see who's on the floor. But to answer your question, you know, I think it's a great opportunity for guys like Frank Mason and for Yogi Ferrell, who's new to the Kings organization. You know, De'Aaron Fox is going to be out there. You know, Buddy Hield is going to get his stretch of time. But you want to make an impact in these early games and prove to the coaching staff and to the organization that you're worthy of minutes, whether or not Bogey is healthy and is available.
You know, G-Man, one thing, you know, I know you get asked about this team all the time, and one of my things that I've been asked about a lot is the young players. And my stance kind of on whether it's Fox, Buddy, Scal, the whole crew, you know, Willie, and some of the other young bigs, and Bagley and Giles, is I feel like this is a year the Kings organization has to get some clear-cut answers on those young guys. And they don't have to have all of them be future stars, but they have to get some answers on kind of this plan that they've gone through, moving Cousins to get to these young guys. They have to know who the core is going forward. What's your thought on kind of this group of young guys and kind of getting that certainty of an answer here this season?
Well, I think you're absolutely right. This is a season when the Kings have got to get some definition, some clarity about their future. It's a great opportunity for these young guys. As we all know, they are extremely young. It's hard to win with young people in the NBA. Last year, we saw a sprinkling of veteran players between Kosta Koufos, Zach Randolph, Garrett Temple, Vince Carter. I don't know that we're going to see much of that this year, even though Temple, Carter are gone. Kosta was sidelined with a hamstring injury during the preseason, did not play. Zebo, with the team, did not play. But I think the message has clearly been from the Kings coaching staff and from the organization, you know, our future is going to be determined on what these young players do. Jason, I'm frequently asked, you know, how many games are the Kings going to win? I don't think it's going to be a big number at all. But that, to me, it's important, but it's also not so important, because I subscribe fully to what Coach Yeager consistently says. You want to be better than you were, you know, if it's a month ago, 6 weeks ago, whatever. Just find a way to get improvement. To me, it's a successful season for the Kings, even if the win total is low, if they can find themselves consistently in a position of being legitimately competitive. And when you get to fourth quarter, no matter who the opponent is, can you stay with them? Can you be competitive? Can you give yourself a chance to win? That's the type of thing in my mind that will determine whether or not this will be a successful season for the Sacramento Kings. We all want success. You want these guys to, you know, to succeed, to find their way, to have an impact. But as Coach Yeager frequently says, I mean, it's a long, lengthy process. And I know people and fans are sick and tired of being told to be patient. It's been way too long since the Kings were in the playoffs. But I still do firmly believe that a legitimate foundation is being built. But going back to your original point, it's now time, as the old cliche would say, fish or cut bait.
No doubt. We're talking with the G-Man, the radio voice of the Kings, getting ready for the season and home opener tonight. And that game specific, G-Man, specifically, it's the Utah Jazz. What a story they've been. 2 years ago, they made the playoffs. They lose Gordon Hayward, George Hill, a bunch of talent from that team. And then they regroup and get even better last year with the development of Gobert, the find of Donovan Mitchell. And the way they defend is as good as anybody in the league. I think this matchup tonight, specifically, G-Man, is as tough a one as the Kings could have to open up.
Absolutely. And I don't know that Quinn Snyder, the head coach of the Jazz, gets nearly the credit that he deserves. But what he's accomplished in his four previous years as head coach in Utah, I think is just really impressive. And the defense is the cornerstone. Last year, I think they had the number two defensive rating in the NBA. They had a great record from the midpoint of the season. I think they went 31-10. They're hard to score against. They held their opponent to fewer points than anybody else in the NBA. And we got a pretty good taste of that just a week ago in a preseason game. And I know people say, and I frequently, well, you can't tell a lot from the preseason, but you could sure tell in that particular night when they held the Kings to, what was it, 10 points in the first quarter, and you're down 29 after 12 minutes. My goodness. I mean, things like that, even in preseason, just aren't supposed to happen. So I know that we're going to see a much more engaged and determined effort from the Sacramento Kings tonight. But the question remains, against Utah, will they, in fact, be able to score? Will they be able to keep it competitive and, you know, within shouting distance? That's where you really hope that an opening night crowd and some electricity at Golden One Center can help spur these guys. You don't want to become reckless, and you don't want to be so juiced up that, you know, you're not effective in the way you perform your basketball skills. But by the same token, you got to come out there and you got to show a heartbeat. And the Kings just got run off the floor a week ago. Can't happen tonight.
G-Man, I know tonight's going to be fun. We look forward to seeing you out there. Before we go, I do have to ask you, at least, you know, brag on you a little bit here and get yourself a chance to brag as well about the Hall of Fame you're going into this week. And I think that's an incredible opportunity. It's well-deserved, and I know you've got to be thrilled about that this weekend.
Well, I appreciate that, Jason. The National Academy of Television Arts and Sciences and the San Francisco Northern California chapter has an affair coming up this Saturday afternoon in San Francisco, and I am being inducted into what they call the Gold Circle that represents 50 or more years of contributions to the television and broadcast industry. And I'm extremely flattered, and I'm still trying to pinch myself and say, I don't know how this came about, but for someone from Sacramento to be recognized with the San Francisco group is particularly special. There have been a number of really talented people from the Sacramento region who have been inducted into the Silver Circle, which represents 25 years. I am told, however, that among the, I think it's 18 who've been inducted into the Gold Circle, that none have come from Sacramento, which nice. I find amazing. And I'm obviously very flattered and I'm humbled. And consequently, I mean, the only thing that's really messed me up is the fact that it's screwed up the first road trip for the Kings. But we've got Jason Ross to the rescue, and you'll have that game Friday night in New Orleans against the Pels. And then I'm going to, hopefully, if flights connect and everything's on time, I'll be in Oklahoma City for Sunday early evening's game against the Thunder.
Yes. Well, tonight's going to be fun. I know it's a big week for you as well. Well-deserved, G-Man. Look forward to seeing you tonight and hearing you on the radio for everyone out there as well. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you tonight.
We look forward to it, as always. And thank you, Chuck, and thank you, Jason.
You got
thank you, man.
It. That's the G-Man. What an honor, too, honestly. 50 years of excellence.
Unbelievable.
From his TV work, radio work, just everything. But that's a cool thing for him. And I like that he's also, I mean, he's called a lot of losses, Charles.
He has.
A lot.
He has. Yeah. I know. I I don't know if feel for him is the right term, but just, yeah, you know, yeah. He was saying everyone wants the team to be good and stuff. I'm like, man, G-Man, you deserve it.
He does.
Jason, I just wanted to say I saw your face when I said he was my hero. You're up there, too.
Yeah, but I feel like that's a distant second, and that's fine.
But, yeah, I just
because G-Man's the bar.
Yeah, and clearly. But I just wanted to let you know, like, you're in the arena.
Huh.
You're there.
Where's Chris?
He's tearing tickets.
Oh.
I don't, wow. I would say I don't raise a bar.
You are the bar.
Boy. I am the bar.
Oh, boy. You knew that was coming. Hey, join Cage to K as the Sacramento Public FC begin their playoff run this Saturday at Papa Murphy's Park. Match begins at 7:30 p.m. Get your tickets at sacrepublicfc.com. We will have that match on the air as well on Saturday. Kings questions coming your way next as the season opener is here. Also, David Locke from the Jazz will get their perspective at 1. That's all coming up as the lowdown continues here on Cage to K. Or train.
Okay, this one I don't know.
You don't know this one?
No.
You probably heard it 1,000 times.
It's got to be in commercials.
I mean, probably.
Yeah.
This one.
Not doing it for you?
No, tell me.
Yes.
But I do like that Hey Soul Sister line. Like, that's good. Yeah, it does feel like this would be in, like, a car insurance commercial. Oh, I
someone
you know
walking
what?
In the park with their
the
dog.
The Hayes.
Yeah.
I sound familiar.
Yeah. There you go. It's not only time for train, it's 12:48. It's also time to visit MadeAChevy.com and see who's made a great deal at Meta. Thanks again to the G-Man, Gary Gerald. Coming up in a few minutes, David Locke, the voice of the Jazz. He will join us as well. And Sam Amick at 2:05. Also coming up at 1 o'clock, we'll tell you about how you can win a pair of tickets to Downtown Chowdown coming up this weekend.
Can I just say the name train? It's kind of half-assed. Like, we could do better than the name
train. You wanted
train.
More than that?
I mean, come on, like... I think a band name is really important, and
right.
Train is just simple.
I feel like when you say that, you've got a band name ready in the hopper. Like if Charles formed a band today, and you're, you know, welcome to the stage, it's who?
Well, no, we're in the studio right now. I could say Speaker Helmet.
Yeah?
That's a band name.
Put two
name.
Things together?
Yeah, like it's
that's
that.
That's not bad.
You know, Mouse Rat, obviously I'm pulling that from Parks and Rec, but like that's what I'm saying, just simple stuff.
Nothing rhymes with oranges.
Yeah, exactly.
Going off.
Yeah.
Everything rhymes with oranges.
Hashtag going off.
Yeah. Just came up with that.
Yeah. Headphone spoon.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What type of music does headphone spoon do?
That's death metal.
Yeah. Death metal.
Death metal, for sure.
For sure. Yeah. Where they got,
Yeah.
I think they played at Aftershock.
Yeah,
they
crushed.
They were third.
They were great.
They were third in the lineup.
Yeah.
Got some NBA and Kings questions we're going to lob out to all of you, and certainly Charles and I will discuss here at 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Text line says, that's 100% insurance commercial.
Oh, music. Yeah, definitely.
No doubt.
Someone walking their dog.
Yeah.
Like, the dog walking was definitely part of it, but that's also insurance commercial.
Yeah, you just never know when
like
life...
Like, you feel good because you got insurance.
Yeah,
dude.
And it's sunny, very few clouds out, but just walking in the park, life's good. Someone's on the bench eating a sandwich.
I'm not worried at all.
Yeah.
Because I got insurance.
Yeah, and I'm covered.
Because I'm rocking State Farm.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like,
and the music's in the background.
Oh!
It's a soundtrack to their heart. They're just good.
Exactly.
Everything is good.
What kind of dog? Jack Russell?
No, I think it's a...
Golden Retriever.
Yeah. Or Lab.
Yeah.
It's usually a Lab.
For sure.
It's like, look at that little lab right there. That's a
so
happy dog.
Is that dog smiling?
Yeah, I think so.
Wow.
I think that dog has insurance.
That dog likes train.
Yes, he does. Yesterday, we asked on Facebook these questions. So I'm going to ask these to you as well today, Charles. NBA most valuable player this year will be whom?
It's, I know people think LeBron. I don't think.
Okay. Check him off the list.
I think for him to really get MVP, it would have to be close to 60 wins.
Ooh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Even if they get 50, that's a 15-game improvement. That's a playoff seed somewhere in the West.
Because if they get 50, and what if Giannis and the Bucks get 50-something? Like, he has to go so far above and beyond. Same thing with Steph. Same thing with KD. It's really storyline-driven.
Yeah.
And even though
LA
does have the storyline with LeBron, it's still LeBron. It's still one of the greatest ever. So he's kind of playing against his own greatness here for MVP. I guess Giannis.
Okay.
Maybe I think it's going to be tough for anyone on Boston.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Dark horse here, and people. I'll show my bias of the Eastern Conference team I like, Victor Oladipo.
Okay.
That's a dark horse. That's just something I'm throwing out, just to be different. Also,
yeah.
But I do think Giannis. It's similar to Harden last year, Russ 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
The storyline's there.
Yeah.
Now go do it.
I picked, and I kind of already regret my pick because I think it might be wrong, but I think it might be Durant. But I think it's going to be difficult for him to separate from the other talent on the team and be, you know, what would that look like, though? Okay, they won 68 games and they're the one seed. Okay?
Yeah. See,
that's not foreign to us.
No.
But what are his numbers inside of that? So I might have missed that one. But again, we're just starting this. But I thought another one I started thinking about, what about Ben Simmons?
If they
get to like a two seed.
I wanted to talk more about Philly because there's more things with Philly that interest / worry me. And Ben Simmons is one of them.
He worries you?
Well, just as far as the ceiling at this point. Without a jumper, that's one thing. It would be nice if he had a jumper, but a guy who gets to the rack at his rate and gets fouled at his rate, who shoots 56% from free throw line.
That's an issue.
That is an issue.
Yeah.
If he can fix some of these things, I think we'll get there. But if, look, an MVP from the Sixers, I think Embiid is a little more.
He's ahead of the curve there.
And also, to throw it back to, you know, the rookie of year debate last year, Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah.
I mean, look, it's tough for a guy in his second year to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, if we're talking Ben Simmons, why not Donovan Mitchell?
Yeah.
If they can get the two seed, if they get 50-plus wins, and he goes from what? He had, you know, like 19, 20 points last year a game. What if he bumps that up 26, 27?
Yeah.
You know, if we're, whatever, ranking MVP candidates as far as Ben Simmons, he'd be behind Donovan Mitchell for me.
Yeah.
Because of his lack of shooting. And, I mean, he's great all around. I know he gets rebounds and assists and all that stuff, but there's still some missing pieces.
How about your NBA biggest surprise this year?
Biggest surprise.
Whether that's a team, whether that's a player. You kind of hinted at Oladipo would be a big surprise if he
was
going
to say. You want me to go crazy?
Yeah.
Here's two of them.
Okay.
And one of them I think you know and you might laugh at. Phoenix Suns are going to be solid. Phoenix
but
Suns
define
will be,
solid.
They'll be fighting for the 8th seed.
Really?
Yeah.
8th.
Fighting for it. So if they're within
that's
two,
over 500. Don't you think in the West? That's not going to be. That's not going to be 40. That's going to be like 45 or above, right? So that puts them like 30. Fighting for it would be like 38 wins
within 4 or 5 games of it.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah, I think
really?
So. If Devin Booker stays, okay. Yeah, and obviously he's the main piece in this.
I'm not with you on that one.
But I like what they did in the offseason.
I do too. I just think that's a big jump. From
I understand
20.
Ryan Anderson. It's funny because when someone gets overpaid, we act like they're useless.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan Anderson's still a solid player,
right?
And he makes sense on a team that's fighting for the 8th seed, not on a team that is trying to win a championship.
Yeah, and Phoenix didn't pay him the deal anyway.
Exactly.
Right, it's not their contract.
So I like the move to get him. I like the draft they had. I like getting Mikal Bridges. I like Trevor Ariza. I like some of the players they had, T.J. Warren. Mm-hmm. Who's the other backup? Their shooting guard who only shoots threes. God, I'm blanking on his name.
I'm blanking right now, too.
But you know who I'm talking
about.
Like 70% of his shots were threes. Devin Booker is a star. So DeAndre Ayton, obviously. Mm-hmm. So I like what they did. We'll see. Maybe I'm completely wrong, but I'll go. Pacers are the 2 seed in the East.
Oh, you wanted to say one?
I really did, but I can't do that to Boston.
They were good,
I think
though.
Boston's legit, but I do think the Pacers will surprise people because they also had a really solid offseason.
Okay,
added Tyreke Evans, Kyle O'Quinn, Doug McDermott, and you can laugh at Doug McDermott. He's going to come in and knock down.
Sure,
threes.
He'll fill that role.
Exactly.
That team. All right, final minute of this hour. Biggest flop.
Who?
Player or team?
Player or team.
So someone that's getting too much hype, or you're like, no, that's not going to work. Whether that's a team or a player.
Minnesota. I think once Jimmy Butler leaves, I think we'll see that it's a complete mess.
Yeah.
Karl Anthony Towns has a ton of talent, but there's something missing at this moment. And the, quote unquote problems with Andrew Wiggins are legit. So I think Minnesota, but that's not that much of a surprise, is it?
Yeah, well, they were a playoff team last year.
Yeah,
so
let me think. You know what? Here's another one. Pelicans.
Okay. There's some good teams in the West that are going to miss this year if we're putting the Lakers in, Denver in, teams like that. We'll get into more details.
Those questions.
Yeah, NBA. We got some Kings questions, too, to get to the next hour. And David Locke, the voice of the Jazz, he joins us to start the 1 o'clock hour of the Lowdown here on KHDK.